6:45 a.m., Thursday. Well, tonight was interesting. I have been walking around Lower Manhattan for the past 3 hours. No real new information, but at least I got some exercise. I left here shortly before 3. I had planned to just go back to the internet cafe to email something out to all of you, if their lines were still up, and come right back home and go to bed. My friend was working there alone, so I stayed there while she counted out the receipts and closed the place up. She had to walk to a subway pretty far south, into the Forbidden Zone, so I went along with her to make sure she got there safely. We were stopped by police and asked for ID. She showed hers. I didn't have to show mine. The police seemed glad that she had an escort. She got to the subway all right, and I was about to walk home. Then I realized that I was quite into southern Manhattan and might not be able to get back down here for a while. So I went for a walk.
I do definitely consider this area to be part of my neighborhood.
I think I was walking down Essex Street. By the time I got to Canal, there was either no more smoke smell or I had just gotten that used to it. I think it was the former. Walking for south on Pike Street, along the East River, beneath the Manhattan and Brooklyn bridges. I was walking beneath the elevated portion of the FDR Drive, and it was almost pitch black. There were no lights.
There were no lights.
I thought I heard helicopters. I saw several sanitation department trucks zoom past me, going north away from the water with police escorts.
I first started seeing ash on the streets and cars at South Street and Robert F. Wagner Place. The lighted display of a building across the river in Brooklyn said it was exactly 5 a.m. and 16 degrees centigrade. The streets here were completely empty and totally quiet except for occasional teams of Con Edison and sanitation crews doing repair work and the intermittent sounds of sirens. This is still pretty far from the World Trade Center area.
The building looks like a leaded glass crystal chandelier.
As I passed by, I saw dozens of what I assume were National Guardsmen sleeping on the floor of the lobby on blankets in neat rows.
At South and Broad Street, I'm seeing a lot more ash on the ground in cars and buildings and in the air. Some streets look like they have been hosed down, creating a thin layer of mud.
The smell of smoke is back quite strongly.
I continued south to State and Pearl. I was now pretty much at the extreme southern tip of Manhattan, by Battery Park, south of the World Financial Center. I started going north on Broadway towards the World Trade Center. Ash is everywhere and getting quite thick. Air is full of it, too.
The building was, but the address was 26 Broadway. I mentioned that as when I get a better map, I'd like to see exactly where I was. I'm really unfamiliar with this part of town.
unfamiliar with this part of town.
I continued north up the darkened block and quickly intercepted by six armed soldiers or National Guardsmen. They were wearing camo and helmets.
He said I could not continue any further north, and I had to turn back.
There was nothing oppressive about them. They were quite kind and helpful in directing me back home, as I was at this point rather lost. You can never really get lost here.
You can tell north from south, but from this area, I would have no idea what the shortest route home would be.
Despite the atmosphere of martial law, they seemed more like friends and neighbors than soldiers, and it seemed like they just wanted to help me get back home, stopping my walk for my own safety. I went south a bit, and at the first intersection, I cut across east a block or so and started heading north again. Walking up William Street, passing Wall Street, Pine Street, moving north in the area directly east of the attack.
The ash was very thick. Cars were covered in a layer sometimes more than an inch thick.
I think there were power outages around here in some areas were pitch black.
While walking through one such block, a small spotlight was suddenly focused on me from the roof of a building behind me. It followed me for about 4 seconds, and then it turned off. Sort of creepy.
I made my way to what I think was East Broadway.
This street was pretty well lit. As I continued north, I realized that with the amount of police and barricades, I was now seeing that I wasn't going to really get any closer or see anything different. So I decided to start home. I didn't know how long I'd been out, but I knew it would be a long walk home, and the air was getting increasingly thick with ash. I saw a large Rite Aid that was lit up, but behind a line of police.
I asked if the Rite Aid was open. Several of them are open 24 hours.
It wasn't. I asked if they knew of any place close where I could get an air filter or a mask, and an EMS worker who overheard came up and gave me a surgical mask. It really made breathing a lot easier on the way home. Some of the areas I walked through were heavily full of ash clouds.
I think I forgot to mention it earlier, but I do have a friend who worked in the World Trade Center. I didn't know that her office was there until after all of this happened. She's on vacation and is now safely stranded in San Francisco. Her name is Annie, and she is safe.
While I was out walking tonight, I was taking brief and chaotically scrawled notes of where I was and what I saw as it all happened, often in near absolute darkness, hoping that my writing would be legible once I saw it in the light. What I have written above is typed from my memory of this evening and from the notes I took. Everything here is factual, but due to the nature of my note-taking, some of the street names and places may be slightly off. But I'm pretty certain that I got everything down accurately. It is now after 7 a.m. My pants and feet are covered with mud and ash. When I left my apartment, I only intended to go around the corner and come right back, so I was wearing flip-flops, not shoes, through all of this. I have to take a shower. Then I'm going to bed.
Thank you.
Thursday night, Friday morning. Tonight was just spent unwinding and trying to relax. My oldest and dearest friend in New York City, Tara Mooney, who supplies the voice for the Shadow character on Jim Henson's Bear in the Big Blue House, if you've seen the show, works in a restaurant across the street from me, so I spent all evening there with her and some other friends. Tonight was the first time I had seen her since the attacks. But since she was back at work, it does show that some things here are starting to return to normal.
Tonight was the first time I'd seen her since the attacks, but since she was back at work, it does show that some things here are starting to return to normal. I never had any reason to think that she had been around the World Trade Center and never really doubted her safety, but it was still wonderful to see.
My email is still down, as is the phone for the most part. And even the internet cafe is down.
My email is still down, as is the phone for the most part. And even the internet cafe is down. I tried to send you all an update, but there were no connections to be had.
When I came home tonight around 4 o'clock, most of my cable TV stations were out. I can still get the local news channel, which...
Oddly, is still a cable-only channel, not a general broadcast channel. But I now seem to be completely cut off from all foreign media, both internet and TV, which have proved to be the most reliable and detailed sources of information in the last few days. No more BBC.